And that's one of the things about religion that we have to remember when we're talking about that makes it such a hot topic issue is because we're talking about law. Who gets to be God? Who gets to be God's deputies? Who is the Most High? Who is the divine authority? It's all about the claim to the Most High. The only way that somebody can be higher than us is if we give away our power. Because there's nobody, we're all equal. But we're not equal in our knowledge, so ultimately, I think it does have to be a hierarchy, but it has to be a cooperative hierarchy, like a bee colony. It's about what our value system is, what we care about.
Hello, Hive Mind. Today is July 23rd, 2020. I am your host, Nate Kapp, joined by co-host Brandon Martin. Welcome to the 12th Cubbyhole podcast, where important topics are unveiled, discussed, and tested. Our website is cubbyhole.com. That's CubbyHole.com. This is a continued show from podcast 11, where Brandon and I went further into the science of natural law, talking about scientism, social Darwinism, solipsism, dishonesty, the human brain, and the mental schisms, aka division of the mind. We are going to continue where we left off, and this show will mostly be about the non-aggression principle and the self-defense principle.
So along the lines of lying, I think Adolf Hitler said it best, which is make the lie big, make it simple, keep saying it, and eventually they will believe it. So obviously, you know, lying has been used for the manipulation of the human race for time and eternity. And this is why we have to combat that with the truth. We are here to wage war against lies and deceit. And the truth is belligerent in times of lies and deceit. And it makes people very uncomfortable because they become egoly identified with the lies. Not only do they become identified with the lies that are coming from others, but they also start to believe the lies that they have given themselves. They start to believe them so much that it becomes comfortable for them to stay in that state of mind. It's more comfortable for them to stay there than to get out of their comfort zone and actually face the truth, because it means they have to create change. They have to admit to themselves that they were wrong, and that they have been duped by others into believing a wrong idea or a falsehood. So, you know, we have to understand that repetition is not only a form of mind control, but also it is a form of reprogramming. We can reprogram ourselves with repetition. This is something that Bruce Lipton talked about a little bit with, you know, the reason why a lot of people can't stay like in a positive state of mind all the time is usually because their subconscious has been programmed to be negative, to think in negative ways. And so if you want to be in that positive state of mind, you have to reprogram your subconscious with that positivity, and you have to get it to agree with your conscious mind. You have to get your conscious mind and your subconscious mind to agree together. They have to be in non-duality. And lying to yourself repetitively will program and even reprogram. You can reprogram yourself into dark stuff if you do it wrongly, obviously. But what we're trying to do is reprogram or program ourselves with positive things. But if you're lying to yourself constantly, then you're programming yourself with negative, you know, reinforcement, which your body will react to, and you'll become diseased, you know, diseased within the body.
Very well said. And, you know, that is the important information to pay attention to, because it is all about understanding how history repeats itself. And we are definitely, you know, if we're not paying attention, we're going to be duped and to going into total tyranny over and over and over, because we keep buying the lie And it's because we don't understand, you know, falsehoods. We don't understand how to discover truth. And we really need to stop lying to ourselves and start figuring that out. And knowing that if something is harmful, we definitely should not be doing that. So I think that's a great segue into the non-aggression principle and the self-defense principle, aka do no harm, but take no shit, or do not violate another and willfully take not the violation from another. That's my saying. But yeah, if you want to go ahead and let us know a little bit about the non-aggression principle and the self-defense principle, so people have a better understanding of why it is very important to stand up for yourself and that self-defense is a real law of nature. And then, you know, get into why we cannot aggress upon people's rights and violate their rights.
Absolutely, Nate. I think this is, I like to explain it as two pillars of enlightenment, right? And if we just think back to how we were explaining the left brain and the right brain, they also can relate to these components of ourself as well. So they can relate to the sacred feminine component and the sacred masculine. So the non-aggressive principle, which is the NAP, a lot of people may have come across this. I see it all over the internet now, and it's a very new age thing. A lot of people kind of do get, you know, do no harm onto people. And that's very good. That's a great thing that people are starting to understand that. And I would call this the first pillar of enlightenment, which is a sacred feminine principle, you know, to do no harm, to not violate somebody else or another sentient being. So this principle states, do not engage in violence. Absolutely not. No matter where you're at, no matter what time you're in, it doesn't matter what time frame you're in, doesn't matter where you're at in the universe, do not engage in any forms of violence. Because all forms of violence are something that you do not have the right to do. You have the capability to do that, but it is not your right. It is not within your rights to violate another being. So in other words, do not immorally initiate non-rightful use of physical power to coerce, constrain, or compel the rightful physical behavior or free will choice of another sentient being. That's the non-aggression principle stated very simply. But the one thing that the New Age movement does not get right when it comes to this is the sacred masculine principle. So they understand, do not violate another. But when they are being violated, they will willfully take this. This relates to that right brain, that chronic right brain imbalance of submissiveness and victim mentality. And so this is something that is left out of the New Age teachings, which is the sacred principle of self-defense, which is a sacred masculine principle. So this is the second pillar of enlightenment. We can also call this the self-defense principle. This principle states, sentient beings have the inherent right to use force to defend themselves from violence conducted upon them by another. And this means the equal and necessary force that is required to subdue or prevent or stop the violence from taking place. So self-defense is a very important part of ourselves. When we negate and neglect on our self-defense principle, we're negating and neglecting on our sacred masculine side of ourselves, which is extremely important. And what you said earlier about it being inherent in nature itself is very important. And I have a quote here by a philosopher that states it very well. Let me see if I can pull it up. So it's William Blackstone is the philosopher who said this. Self-defense is justly called the primary law of nature. So it is not, neither can it be, in fact, taken away by the laws of society. So no matter what law is created in society, one always holds the right of self-defense, especially when it comes to immoral laws, obviously. So anything that is creating or initiating violence against you, you have the right to defend yourself in that scenario. So William Blackstone was a philosopher, and I think that's a very good quote. And then there was another quote that I can just kind of paraphrase off the top of my head, and I can't remember who said it, but it was that self-defense is the oldest law in nature. And I have to concur with that, you know, that it is one of the first assertive principles that takes place, because without self-defense, you're just going to be completely bombarded and vulnerable, and you'll be taken over. You'll be controlled. You'll be destroyed. You'll be assimilated. You'll be annihilated, whatever you want to look at it as. All the bad things that can happen to you will happen to you, because you're going to roll over and take it. You're going to turn the other cheek every single time that it happens, and you will create your own self-inflicted Stockholm syndrome, because you would not stand up and take the right action, the righteous action of doing what is necessary to put down the accosters by whatever means that you need to use to get that done. So self-defense is very, very important. We've talked about it a few times on this show already. You had a great guest on the show that explained the right to bear arms very, very well, which does incorporate and expands with the self-defense principle. And if you are leaving out this principle, then you are only a halfwayer. You have not went all the way. You do not truly have an enlightened mind, in my understanding, because you will allow things like authoritarianism, epigenetics, or epidysgenics, moral relativity. You will allow all the wrongdoings, those seven sins that we just talked about. You will allow those things to just run amok in society, and you won't do anything to create change. So pedophilia, why do anything about that? Slavery, why do anything about that? Don't ever stand up against your abusers. Just lay back and take it like a good little dog that you are, you know? And I think it's deplorable, and I think it's one of the failures of the New Age movement when it comes to trying to enlighten people, because everybody's just like, oh, it's just about feeling good, and, you know, it's not going to feel good to actually stand up and defend myself. Well, trust me, it's going to feel a lot worse when you're not defending yourself than you actually stopping that violence from taking place. We have to understand that we need to stop this violence. And even though I think that we have a long-term educational process of enlightenment that we must go through to create true freedom, that doesn't mean you just sit back and do nothing while you have these elite psychopathic people running amok and destroying this beautiful world and destroying people's lives. You don't just sit back and do nothing. We have to do something about it. And one form of self-defense is education. So, you know, don't think that educating yourself is not a form of self-defense. Understanding yourself, understanding the way that the brain works, understanding the components of natural law, these are forms of self-defense, because it allows you to make better decisions in your world. It allows you to counteract what is going on in this world. And without that knowledge, then you are just left in the emptiness of space, and you have nothing to grasp onto. You have no feet on the ground. You have no boots in the field to actually create work and create change.
Exactly, man. Very, very well said. And the thing is, a lot of people are looking for solutions, and this is one of them. This is one of the most powerful solutions, is taking in this information so that way you know your rights. You know that self-defense is not just, you know, some made-up man-created thing. This is something that we are bound to inherently. I mean, you look at all the creatures on Earth. If you try to initiate any kind of harm to them, any kind of violence to them, what do? They try to defend themselves. Why? Because it's inherent in their nature, just like it is ours. We are sentient beings, and sentient beings means we have feelings, and we're able to perceive. We're also able to stand up for ourselves and defend with righteous action, because especially when our rights are being accosted, or that we are being violently initiated upon. And this is something that I see so many people thinking that they do not have this right, that the only people that have this right are the people in blue uniforms with badges.
Oh, God. You know?
And it's disgusting. And it's like, you know, it's like talking to someone who really enjoys their slavery. They really enjoy being in this type of mindset because, well, they're comfortable and their belief is that they don't have to do anything about anything because, you know, they believe in the authority as the, you know, as their form of self-defense. So it's a very, very important principle to understand deeply and to not let people take advantage of you or, you know, and it's also about standing up for your family and your friends is when someone else is accosting them, you know, violating their rights, you know, don't just stand there and take out your phone, you know, do something. And I know that's hard to say to people because, you know, people don't want to get shot. They don't want to get tased. They don't want to get, you know, beat up when they see somebody in blue beating somebody's ass and killing them, you know, just because they're not wearing a mask. I don't know if you heard about that, but like some old guy got shot for not wearing a mask at some store. But the point is that, and he got shot by the police. So, anyway, I digress. I just want to make sure that people really understand this principle deeply because it is very empowering. It definitely brings you back to your connection to nature. And it also, is about, showing appreciation for for your creation, for the creator, because you're not here to just bow down and be someone's, you know, little peon and get peed on.
Absolutely. All beings accosted with violence possess the innate right of self-defense to stop those who are conducting the initiation of violence.
Right.
And I mean, we have to look at this in a more holistic way where we understand that self-defense is a true act of love. It is love itself. I think Malcolm X said it. I don't even call it violence when it's self-defense. I call it intelligence. It's an act of intelligence. And we really have to understand the difference between violence and self-defense like we spoke about before. I think that's why people are so scared of self-defense in the New Age community because they associate it with violence too much in their mind. And they think that to actually stand up and physically stop the accoster is somehow doing the same thing that the accoster is doing to them when it is completely not. It is completely two separate and different things taking place. A person who is initiating harm onto you is completely different than you protecting yourself by force, by the rightful use of force. And I think people get those things confused, and that's because of how we've been brainwashed through the media, through schools, through movies, through Hollywood, you know, through all this stuff. So, you know, we have by all means the innate ability to forcefully defend ourselves against violence, to stop it from continuing. And we really have to drill that into our head because what I see now is just like what we've been saying, people just sitting back and allowing the bulldozer to run them over without doing anything to try to stop it. And, I mean, knowing the difference between self-defense and violence makes all the difference when it comes down to it.
Right, exactly. And, you know, another thing to remember is, like, the support of those who do accost others is that is part of the non-aggression principle. You don't have the right to support those who perform wrong actions and violate others' rights. You know, you don't have that right. You don't have the right to just stand there and do nothing. If you see someone doing something wrong, you have to stand up and put your foot down and, you know, not allow that. Like, if you were to see, I mean, and I understand, we live in a very dangerous world where that we feel like there's nothing we can do. You know, the gang of the authority figures of government are too big and too powerful, blah, blah, blah. And that's such a cop-out. It's such a cop-out. And, you know, I ask myself, are we here to just be cop-outs? No, we're here to, you know, stand in alignment with something so beautiful, which is self-love, which is the love, which is agape, you know, the love of all, the love of the universe, and the principles that we discover that help us stay in alignment, that keep us balanced. This type of information is ultimately, it is the most peaceful solution. And I think that if you don't have this type of information, you end up like, you know, these gangs out on the street that are trying to rebel, and they have no idea what they're actually doing. You know, they're being misled. And and when I say gangs, I say that very, very carefully, because it is what's happening. It is, you do see these, the rise of these movements. They become gangs. They have a gang mentality. It doesn't mean that what they're doing is necessarily wrong, because yes, their rights are being infringed upon. But it's the fact that, you know, if you don't have these principles, if you don't understand these principles, you're going to go out with your gun, you know, half cocked, and you're not going to, you might be doing more damage than good. And that's really what has to be understood.
Absolutely, Nate. I mean, I see that so much. It's groupthink mentality.
Right.
You're starting to get gang warfare, even amongst the people who are rebelling against the authoritarians. You have factions of people fighting amongst each other. And that's exactly what will fuel the control system into the future. It's because we're not unified in our task. We're not unified within the knowledge of natural law and what our rights actually are and what our rights are not. So there is no place for man's authority over other men in a civilized society. And self-defense is our means to defend against the accosters, the encroachers upon our civil liberties, and I shouldn't say civil liberties, but our moral liberties, our liberties themselves. You know, the right of self-defense will never cease. It will always be with us. It is among the most sacred and alike necessary to the individual to protect the well-being of their freedom. Without that, you will always be locked with ball and chain, you know, whether mentally, emotionally, or physically, by a person, a manipulator, a psychopath that actually wants to do that to you. I mean, it is simply an open playing ground, an open hunting ground for predators when you're not capable of defending yourself. You know, it is just like selecting your prey right off the shelf. They don't have to do anything about it. They can just come in and pick you up and do whatever they want to you. And one more thing I'd like to add about self-defense is that it requires no apology. When you do self-defense, you do not have to apologize to anybody. I hear people apologizing for defending themselves against people. I've heard, you know, girlfriends apologize to violent boyfriends because they decided to stand up and say no to that person, you know? And I mean, that kind of gets us into something that I feel is really important when it comes to self-defense, which is what I call like the lost word, what many people have termed the lost word, which is the most powerful word to me, which is no. We have to learn to say no to these people. And if we don't do that, then we will be walked all over. We will be drugged to our ball and chain, and we'll be locked up into our prison because we won't say no. Now, just saying no isn't enough. We have to enact the expression of no. So we can't just tell an accoster, no, no more, you have to stop. Because most likely they won't. And anybody who's been in a violent relationship will understand that. You could say no all you want to that person and they may not stop. So you have to actually enforce that no through self-defense. It has to be no, and I will back it with teeth. You know, this right. is the line in the sand. This is as far as it goes and no further. You will not cross this line anymore. I am done with it. It's done. It's over. And this is how we have to have... Well, what I mean is that we have to have this type of resolve when it comes to facing the iniquities and inequities that we are facing today. So when it comes to these bullies, because that's really what they are, we have to draw that line in the sand no matter what and say no and then enforce that. Just like Neo in The Matrix, when he finally realizes his own full potential and he stands up against the agents of the system and he holds his hand out and he says no. You know, holding that hand out is symbolic of saying stop. You will not cross this line anymore. You know, no further. You will not do anything. And what does he do? He stops the bullets in that scene. And that's metaphorical for stopping the harm from the system, you know? That's metaphorical right. for stopping. You're not going to literally stop bullets, but eventually, I mean, technically you will if you get to stop the violence from taking place. You will stop those bullets because those are, you know, that's violence in that scene where the agent, Agent Smith, and the two other agents are shooting bullets at him. That's violence. So he's stopping the violence by saying, no more. This is done. You know, I have right. the power. I'm taking my power back. I'm a full sovereign being and I'm fully awakened and you will not do this to me ever again.
Yeah, there's another example where the character does not stop them, but his actions is exactly what is needed. No, you know, so you're not always going to win. You're not always going to win with the no, but it's about, you know, stating that you are not going to take this and you have crossed a line and I'm not going to allow this type of behavior any longer. And one of the, it's funny when you brought up The Matrix, I was thinking of another allegorical scene, which is when the soldier is in his blue uniform or his blue avatar suit in the movie Avatar, and he wakes up and tries to stop the bulldozer that's bulldozing the whole, you know, the land, all the trees and everything. And he goes up and he smashes the camera and he, you know, makes them stop. And he's telling them, like, you know, you're not going to do this. Well, that is what, you know, that is the part of the no that we're talking about. It's like, you know, standing up and not allowing them to bulldoze us any longer. So very, two very, very incredibly allegorical movies that, you know, if you haven't seen, definitely watch those with new eyes and understanding these principles.
Yeah, I love both of those movies. Some of my favorites, obviously. But, you know, once people stop condoning violence and stop condoning the illegitimate system that we are in, then we'll start to see a change. You know, once we start to live in harmony with natural law and understand that those laws cannot be changed, but the condition that we've created by living in opposition to those can be changed, then we'll start to actually see a collective quantum paradigm shift where we have enough people that are actually doing things differently in society that the condition of the society actually starts to change. So even though slavery is the current condition of humanity, the condition can be changed. That's why it's called a condition. It can be reconditioned. It can alter. And we have to stop condoning theft. We have to stop condoning forms of violence. And the way that we stop that is through self-defense.
Exactly. Well, man, this show has been outstanding and definitely very powerful, especially with understanding the schisms and the religious, you know, worldviews that a lot of us fall into. So hopefully this show has been informative. Is there anything else you wanted to say before we get off here, Brandon?
No, it's just been a pleasure, and I'm very happy to be doing this work. It's always great to get on here with you, Nate. I love what you have to say. I love your work. And I'm just really excited to continue to progress and push forward with the Cubbyhole podcast. Looking forward to getting some gear out there in the future for people. If people are interested, we probably will be having stickers and probably some t-shirts in the near future. So anything that you can do to help support the podcast, donations are welcome. Anything, even just sharing our stuff on social media, sharing it to your friends, anything that you can do to get the word out, we really appreciate that. And we really love your feedback also. So if there's anything that you can think of that we need to improve on, go ahead and hit us up, and we'll do our best to try to make things better for the viewing audience, the listening audience. So yeah, thank you for having me on as a co-host again.
Yeah, thank you too, Brandon. We're definitely going to be continuing with natural law into the principles, the hermetic principles, the seven hermetic principles, and it is going to be quite a show. So definitely stick around to listen for that, and because that is exactly what is going to have to be understood in order to really grasp your true power within natural law. So that's all the time we have today, guys. And if you are looking for any more information on this show, just visit cubbyhole.com. That's cubbyhole.com. And you'll find all the news, updates, videos, and much more. And we hope you found value here again. So please stay tuned for the next shows. And we will be expanding on natural law. And it's going to be really awesome. Very excited to get on these principles. So that being said, thanks again for being on here, Brandon. And thank you all for listening. Have a great day.